Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is number 88. Numerology nerds like me like eights.
I'm more of a fives man myself.
I think it's actually a Chinese thing. Eights. There's a lucky number eight kind of thing. That's why when the Beijing Olympics happened, they tried to make it happen on 888 or 88 2008, so it looked like 3/8.
Oh, I just like fives because they're the easiest multiple to count.
Oh yeah.
It's either gonna end in a zero or a five.
Well, hopefully the numerology of the show works out well. If you've been listening, like I know a few of you have, I met a fan actually for dinner a few days ago. Emilio, if you're listening, a shout out to you, sir. You should be on the show. We should make that happen. If anyone else wants to be on the show, Emilio or not,
you don't just have let to be know. Named Emilio. You can have any name.
Although, if we had like a bunch of people named Emilio, that'd be a thing.
That would be.
Yeah, that'd be kind of an interesting thing. So, I'm not saying, Emilio, that you have to find like three other guys named Emilio and then be on the show, but you know, we have a rep to protect.
Not a good one.
Well, speaking of not good reps to protect, we're continuing our fuck the police segment. Now, is this 4 weeks in a row?
I think so.
Wow.
We almost didn't have it, but you know, I came through in the end. I found something. So but it's also it's a fuck the police, but it's also not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what do we have here?
So in Tennessee, in the town of Knoxville, there was a party that got out of control. Which when I hear about these 800-person house parties, how big is your house? That's crazy.
Well, it is Tennessee, right? And so you know they have more land, more space, that kind of thing. Cheaper housing versus California, where if you try to put 800 people like on the same block, it might not work out.
Well, anyways, there was a big house party that got out of control. So the cops came in, as they do. And, you know, they started arresting people. And one of the people they arrested, who, to be fair, did resist arrest for a bit, he got choked out by one of the cops. Yes. And it was caught on tape.
Oh, no.
Which we'll put in the link. But you see the guy just, like, choke him till he falls to his knees.
Is it, like a...
What two kind of... hands around the throat. Like, they're standing belly to belly, and he just, like, chokes him out while the other two cops are handcuffing him.
See, if it were more of, like, a, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like, I'm holding him down kind of choke, I feel like that would be, like, a little better, but the hands to the throat choke, that's...
No, this cop looked like a real donut eater. He wasn't going to go for any sort of jiu-jitsu, Brazilian or otherwise. But, so this was a sheriff's deputy that did that.
Okay.
And when the footage was released, he got fired.
Oh, yay!
Which never happens.
They didn't
sheriff saw it and said, "This is unacceptable, excessive force, you're fired." And then turn it over to the attorney general for prosecution.
Wow. Okay. So no, administrative leave, no hush hush, kind of move him into kind of the crap job. Like, you know, I don't even know what the crap job is. I can only think of in, did you play L.A. Noire?
Yes.
Like so he's a homicide cop and then he gets bumped down to arson and he's like, oh, not arson.
So a wag of the finger to former Sheriff's Deputy Frank Phillips, but a tip of the hat to Sheriff Jimmy Jones for actually, you know, upholding the law and not covering it up.
Answering injustice with justice.
Yes. Very
Good stuff.
Batman.
Well, I think we have to give another wag of the finger, maybe the middle finger, to the FCC, unfortunately, this
Oh,
last
they get
week.
the double bird this week.
So, as much as we've talked about how the FCC is kind of trying to get back into the good graces of internet rights and forge ahead with the new world order, they pull something like this, where they propose rules that make it legal to do what Comcast has been in the news about recently. There's been a pretty good flap between Comcast and Netflix about how Comcast wants to essentially charge a toll for certain content providers, especially Netflix, thus kind of perpetuating why net neutrality is really, really needed. You're essentially taxing kind of bandwidth for people that create a lot of bandwidth. So content creators and providers like the FCC or Netflix are now enabled by the FCC to be taxed just by virtue of them creating a lot of content. And this is kind of, I mean, with the article I found a while ago for the link is not the best one. The best one I found, and I'm probably going to link it, is one that really lined it out. And I believe it was even Netflix that posted it, just showing how it's really kind of unfair and clearly a monopolistic kind of thing to do for Comcast to put the taxes out on their on what essentially is all of their subscribers on one end and on the content providers on the other end. And there's a neat graph that shows access, and there's this like everything is in a kind of upward trend of like this is bandwidth over time. And then if you look at Netflix's graph, it mostly follows the line and then suddenly very sharply dips and then very sharply turns up. And that's because that's the point where Comcast was like, hey, if you pay more, then we'll give you all the access that you're supposed to have. And Netflix did in order to essentially get back in front of people. But I mean, it's clearly illegal practice, or it should be illegal practice. And FCC really should kind of like pull their head out of their asses and get that locked down again.
Yeah, they are not doing well.
Yeah. Net neutrality is a thing. FCC kind of messing with it, holding it back, essentially siding with the Comcasts of the world is not a thing.
But they couch it as like, oh, we'll continue to regulate this and we'll keep an eye on it. We'll make sure they don't get out of hand. Like, that's not gonna work.
I think a little bit, maybe a little bit more kind of oversight and just more being more thoughtful about like what is happening. Or maybe just not being lobbied so hard.
There's a lot of lobbying going on.
There's certainly ways that this could be rectified. I have a feeling that the deep pockets method is ruling right now. So hopefully that gets kind of worked out a little bit. Kind of in a different vein about the internet and access to things, a service that I'm proud to say the Not a Thing podcast never really fully endorsed. Google Plus had kind of a big deal happen this week. There, the guy in charge of I think it was the entire division, which is something like 2,000 people, Vic. Oh, I don't remember his name. Gundotra? I'm probably mispronouncing that. Anyway, he left Google Plus, which essentially means all of Google Plus now doesn't have a direction or a plan, because he was this big proponent of having Google Plus as a first tier social network like Twitter and Facebook. It really just didn't take off that well. I mean, it had a lot of ideas that it had borrowed from other things, most notably the Diaspora Project, which had the whole thing about circles. But they didn't call them circles, or in Facebook, kind of groups where you could restrict levels of sharing and things like that. And Google Plus kind of had a run as like a way for celebrities to kind of more easily talk to people in a, you know, that wasn't as just kind of free for all as like Twitter was. But at the same time, it was just never used that much. I mean, I think we had an account on Google Plus for the Not a Thing podcast, but never really, really activated it. We were mostly just like cyber
As is our right and responsibility as a couple.
squatting. Well, I mean, they haven't officially said that they're closing Google Plus, but without kind of the guy driving it, it will most likely be split off into all of the different projects that keep it together. So chat will go back to Gmail probably, and Hangouts, which honestly is maybe the best thing to come out of the Google Plus stuff, will go probably over to YouTube to get you know, better integrated and stuff.
Well, hopefully it stays somewhere so we can keep using it and making the podcast.
Yes, this podcast works very well on Google Plus, so, or Google Plus Hangouts. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out. But yeah, I mean, I always thought that you know, it's really about where the people are, and then what kind of value you get out of it. And what was interesting was that Google really had all the people. I mean, they made it so everyone who had a Gmail account, which is almost everyone, had a Google Plus account. And I think part of it, or at least this is the part that I'm going to say is mainly it, is that the one restriction Google Plus had that really everywhere else didn't really have is that they really enforce the real names kind of aspect of Google Plus. And I think the you know, the if I mean, there's plenty of people that are going to say, no, it was this or no, it was that. But if there's anything that I, you know, definitely didn't like about Google Plus is that you couldn't use like a pseudonym or anything like that. And I think the I think you can take away anonymity to a degree. I think you still need an accountability factor. That's why I like Twitter, where you can have kind of a pseudonym. I mean, you can't like fake your pseudonym, if that doesn't even make sense. I just like Twitter's model better. Let's just put it that way. Sorry, Google Plus. Hopefully, you keep Hangouts around. Hopefully, Hangouts are still
If you're listening, Twitter, you should verify me because I'm me.
a thing. Speaking of verification, a documentary crew verified an urban legend of like epic proportions. So this one is from the old Atari days, and I know Atari is like a game company now, but really Atari was a game company away a while ago. I mean, I would say it's late 70s, early 80s was their heyday. The 2600 and game systems like that with the black joystick with the big orange button, that was their kind of bread and butter. And there was an urban legend that Atari, in order to get a game out for the movie E.T., rushed it to market in this ridiculous fashion. It was something like 5 weeks for development. At a, you know, in the early 80s, late 70s, where video game development is really, really just starting. I mean, it's not at all the enterprise that it is now. And so it was rushed to market and it was awful. Some people called it the worst video game ever made, to the point where supposedly Atari dumped the games, the unsold games, in the desert because they didn't want anyone to hear about them or otherwise find them and play them and expose them for how bad it was. And this was one of those like, oh yeah, that's really funny. No one would ever do that. And apparently, they did, because a documentary crew went out to the desert under some, somebody's direction, so somebody knew where stuff was buried, and they went out and they found just a landfill, essentially, of games of the Atari ET game, which is crazy. So that's going to be a wild documentary, probably worth at least just a watch of, if only to just figure out just the craziness involved. I mean, I love the fact that this is probably like a 30-something year old story about video games. It's kind of a neat bit of video game history.
This discovery is older than I am.
The views of the Not a Thing podcast include. Oh well, in any case, kind of
Didn't say
switching.
anything else. I was just talking about me.
No, and I 100%
Congrats.
get it. I didn't play ET when I was growing up at all. I have no idea what we're talking about right now. Well, speaking of amazingly kind of geeky and old things, some folks on the internet did what some folks on the internet always do, which is they take kind of algorithms to a very, very far extent. So some guys went and analyzed some data about how airlines board, and airlines have been boarding planes for many, many years, and they're probably, there are really only two main ways to board an airplane. There's the standard, we'll board all the rich people first, and then everyone in the very back of the plane, and kind of move forward. And that mostly makes sense from a filling the plane, kind of perspective. Because it, in theory, it doesn't block the aisle, but in reality, it really does block the aisle, because everyone that is not actively getting stuff into their seats is in the aisle, and that's just slowing stuff down. So the other main way to board an airplane is Southwest's, like, just everyone go in and take a seat wherever you're going to sit, and they found that that actually boards planes really fast, and that's because if instead of waiting for a seat, people will just sit down in whatever seat is available, and so it's more it kind of self-corrects for when people are waiting in the aisle or anything like that. So some mathematicians, I guess, and airline geeks kind of put together a couple simulations or algorithms of doing it, and I think it's great. It's a fun, quick little article about showing, like, people who think way too much about getting onto planes and stuff. And I think, I mean, the one algorithm that they think would work the best is, it's based on the idea of, let's board the outside of the plane, the windows first, and then the aisles. That way, you're not blocking the aisles as people are coming down, because what happens is someone is going to get in, but the middle seat or the aisle seat guy gets there first, and then you have to wait for them to come back out of the aisle. You can go sit in the window, and then everyone filters back in. But if you do the windows first, then it goes faster. Well, this one goes one further and says, let's do all the windows on one side of the plane and line the people up so they don't overlap. So you're never waiting for, to get past a person, because the people in front of you are always going to seats that are in front of you. And I think it's potentially a good idea. The real problem is, how do you logistically do that? What do you put on your ticket? It's like, this is your seat and this is the order you're boarding. I don't think people can do that. I mean, people get like crazy over where to sit on a plane, and that's when they have assigned seats. They line up for, you know, days, and that's because they're trying to get stuff into their overhead bins, not necessarily because they want to sit in a specific spot. So that's really an issue with, you know, planes in general and not necessarily just the boarding aspect of planes. But fun article nonetheless.
Are you more of a window seat person or an aisle person?
Long haul aisle, short haul window.
Do you think there's anyone who's a middle seat person? Do they exist? If you think you're a middle seat person, please contact us, because
Yeah,
I want to know if you're a unicorn or what.
that would be a thing for sure. If you would go on record as being a middle seat person, we would definitely have you on the show.
I'd probably fly somewhere with you, because I don't
Yeah.
want to sit in the middle.
You could fly with both of us. It would be great.
Everybody knows emergency exit row is the best.
It's funny because on I think it's United. They have economy, and they have Economy Plus, which is, you know, they widen the space, or not, they don't widen the seats. They increase the distance front to back between the seats, like an extra like few inches, which honestly is very nice, but at the same time, it's like, just give me those inches on the plane. It'll be okay. You can sell maybe a couple rows less of seats, and everyone will be happier. But anyway, what's interesting is the emergency exit rows are in the Economy Plus kind of piece of the plane. So you have to pay, you know, more for them, but you actually pay even more than you do for the Economy Plus seats on either side of the emergency exit row. So they unfortunately know that the exit row is for people that want the legroom. I mean, unless the plane is crashing, in which case nobody wants that exit row.
I'm really glad our plane didn't crash the last one I went on. It was on Southwest and I was not sober. And I was sitting in the emergency exit row.
I
I mean, it's
always,
not complicated. I could open a door. I wasn't
yeah,
that drunk. But
right.
still.
I always treat the emergency exit row as like a, you know, badge of honor when they come by. It's like, are you willing and able to assist in the event of emergency? I'm like, yes, ma'am. I'm gonna
I
save
can open
everyone on this
that
damn plane.
door. Just keep the gremlins away from me.
Although honestly, the last couple times I flew, it was over water. And if you're in the emergency exit row over water, they say not to use the overwing exits when you're flying over water. So it's like, oh, I guess I'm not going to be saving everybody. So I don't know.
But
Not
you
a big
could
deal.
doom everybody by opening
Such power.
it.
I guess with great power comes great responsibility, or some such.
Yes.
That's coming out this week, isn't it?
Don't know.
I
Don't
mean,
know. Don't care.
not that. I mean the but the new Spider-Man movie is coming out this week.
Extraneous Spider-Man.
The second Spider-Man movie is coming out this week. But it's well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. I mean, we don't want to jump ahead too much. The next thing on the docket is actually a story you found about a new show on Stars.
Yes, Sir Patrick Stewart is coming back to live action television. They got a 2-season, 20-episode order of a show created by Jonathan Ames, who is a novelist and was the creator of a show called Bored to Death, which, if you have not seen, I highly recommend it. It had Ted Danson, Zach Galifianakis, and Jason Schwartzman as a private detective, an unlicensed private detective, and it was very funny. It was pretty out there. So I'm excited to see that this show is being created by him, and seeing anything with Patrick Stewart is always good. So
yeah.
He'll be playing an alcoholic TV personality, which should be great.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun. And you said Seth MacFarlane is associated with it too.
Yes, he's producing it.
Cool.
Or executive producing it. So I don't know how much his involvement's going to be, but I don't know. His production company got Cosmos made, so that's been pretty good so far.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I think that'll be a really good thing. I mean, I saw Patrick Stewart in I think it was called Chasing Elephants. It was part of the film festival. I think we talked about it when it was part of the San Jose Cinequest Festival. And so it was good. It was actually really good to see him in something live. I mean, you hear him on voiceovers all the time. I think it's Enterprise. That he does the Enterprise Rent-A-Car that he does the voiceovers for.
Yeah.
And then he's on, I guess it's American Dad every once in a while. Although, is that even on anymore?
I think it's like they're moving into TBS or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't watch it. So. No.
Yeah, well, it would be good to see Patrick Stewart in more things. If you follow him on Twitter, he's generally pretty hilarious. The stuff that he posts are great, especially when he's posting anything with Ian McKellen. I mean, just yes. The fact that the two of them are friends is kind of mind breaking for a good nerd. A good population of nerds, their minds kind of just stop working when you see posts from both of them.
And he definitely can do comedy. I don't know if you saw him on Ricky Gervais's show Extras, where he appeared as himself. It was very funny. So he's got the chops.
Yeah. Yeah, that show was actually very good all the way around. I mean, it's very Ricky Gervais in that it lasted not long enough. But so many great cameos, and it's a lot of that. It's all people kind of playing like kind of hyper stylized versions of themselves for the show, and it's great.
Well, we're still in TV land. I do have some breaking news.
Oh, really?
That is not a thing. Almost Human has been canceled.
Oh, boom.
It will not be coming back.
Rats. I think I actually have one episode to go or two episodes to go. I'm going to feel kind of sad about watching those now.
It ended strong. I don't know. It's disappointing to see some quality world building going on and then for that not to pan out.
Oh, that's such a bummer. Oh, well, definitely not a thing. But I think it was I think we both talked about it. I mean, it was doomed from the beginning just by being sci-fi on Fox. So, I mean, it's nice for them to give us a bone every once in a while. I'm bummed that we don't get any more Carl Urban as Super Cop, but maybe this means that they'll greenlight Dread 2.
I will watch it.
That was a decent show. I think if they actually showed the shows in order, it might have also been okay. I think I had heard some things about how the reason they changed the order was to kind of front load the more kind of audience friendly and interesting episodes rather than, you know, do that kind of character development stuff that that some people are claimed to be into. So if they release them on DVD or God, I said DVD, Blu-ray, is that still a thing? No,
digital download. Come on.
Some digital method. It'll be in the proper order. Oh, it goes the way of so many shows on Fox. Oh well, from kind of a show that was a show that was about to be to a show that is no more, to a show that is not a show but a movie. That transition didn't work so well.
It did till I left.
We're moving to the other big breaking news this week in the kind of sci-fi universe. It was announced on StarWars.com. Essentially the cast of the new the seventh, I guess, Star Wars movie, whatever. Yeah, it actually is episode seven, and
Episode seven.
they're it's coming out December of 2015. And they announced it by showing what looks like this just this black and white photo of all these people sitting kind of in a circle, supposedly doing like a read through of the script, and it's all the principal people that are going to be in Star Wars, including, you know, everyone's favorites.
Well, there's no Lando. I'm not seeing Billy Dee in that picture. So hopefully they'll squeeze him in, or maybe in the next one.
Yeah, right. He'll have to be in the
Episode
middle
eight.
movie, just like he
Yeah.
was for Empire Strikes Back. It'll be, you know.
But they picked
Although
some good actors. Adam Driver from Girls is supposed to play a villain in the movie.
okay.
And John Boyega from Attack the Block, which was a movie I loved.
Who was he in Attack the Block?
He was the main character.
Okay.
So yeah, main guy from Attack the Block,
Yeah.
and Andy Serkis, who knows if he's going to be playing himself or some sort of CGI alien. Could really go either way.
And then one of the people that wasn't pictured but is attached to the show is Max von Sydow. Which should
That could
be,
be cool.
yeah, really, really epic. I mean, I feel like was he in Star Trek at all? I'm trying to think. Maybe not.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Maybe not. Okay, I only remember like his involvement with like Dune.
Yeah.
Dude has been around a while in
Yeah, he's in his
sci-fi.
80s. And I also read that there are some more parts that have yet to be announced as to who the cast is going to be. So this wasn't the complete cast, but this was a large portion of the main characters.
And it had like Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and Peter Mayhew and
Anthony
A Anthony
Daniels.
Daniels, Mark
Mark Hamill's
Hamill.
really cleaned himself up. Trying to get camera ready. After all those years of voiceover
He does do a lot of voiceover work.
he's good at it. He's better in that than he was in acting in Star Wars.
Yeah, so I mean, I think J.J. Abrams definitely has his work cut out for him, you know, especially since the movie's coming out next year, and you know, there's a lot to do. But I'm pretty sure Disney's gonna throw a ridiculous amount of cash his way, so it'll probably work out.
Yeah, they'll probably get all the monies.
And honestly, I think a J.J. Abrams helmed Star Wars is probably going to do better than Star Trek did, unfortunately.
Well, I mean,
It
his Star Trek, the first Star Trek he did was a better Star Wars movie than the prequels were. So I'm pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
And he's aware of his lens flare tendencies and has officially said he will cut back. So there is hope.
I think in I want to say the first instance of lens flare that I remember recognizing was in a Star Wars movie. I want to say when Obi-Wan and Luke are looking at Mos Eisley, there's a point where the camera kind of looks over and you get a little bit of a lens flare. And I remember this is one of those kinds of things where movies are kind of are kind of ruined by other people. And unfortunately, in this case, it was my dad at the time. I mean, he's still my dad. He's not my dad. He wasn't my dad then and isn't. You know what I mean? Anyway,
He's some sort of time traveler.
my dad's a time lord, so anyway, he pointed out that you only see lens flare if you're looking through a lens, and so it's like, duh, right? But it's the kind of thing where if you're a person looking out, you don't see those light artifacts and things, so it doesn't make sense for that he would see them when he's looking over it from his perspective. And I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. And it was, kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit too much, I think.
Yeah, as opposed to all the other realism of Star Wars.
Lightsabers
Binary
are real.
suns.
Shut
There could be lens flare in real life if you had binary suns.
I'll take it. I'll take it. I have not heard a thing about the plot, and I will actually
I
do
don't
my
want to know.
darndest to stay as spoiler-free as I can. I did read one thing that some people are trying to unify the universes of Star Wars from like the Clone Wars and the various incarnations of shows and books and things like that to tie it up. Which I don't know if they really have to do. I feel like it's a nice effort for them to do to kind of put forth a coherent thing, but I think actually trying to make that fit is unnecessary.
Well, this week actually, they announced that basically all the extended universe stuff is no longer real canon.
Oh, interesting.
So the only things that are canon are the movies and the TV shows.
Huh.
So all those books don't count. They're rebranding it as the Star Wars. Was it Legends? So it's kind of like alternate universe kind of thing. Whereas
Okay.
prior to that, it had been considered canon,
Right.
including the death of Chewbacca. So maybe they can undo that with the new movies.
Is that what it
That was
is?
kind
It's
of
just a
bullshit.
big control Z on.
But that also means that, I mean, they said that they may at some point incorporate some of the extended universe stuff into the movies, but they're not beholden to it. And so if anything is added in, that's great. If not, they're not going to try and reconcile those. But I still consider, unless these movies are amazing, I'm still going to consider Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy what actually happened.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, I 100% agree. Yeah. What is it? Dark Jedi and the everything that turned into what was it? The Dark Forces game, which was the thing that came up before LucasArts made Jedi Knight. Which was the thing that came up before, I can't remember the Star Wars. I mean, there was a whole like run of Star Wars games that were actually quite good. Star Wars games used to not suck, and they were kind of they kind of borrowed from the Timothy Zahn kind of stories a little bit, and those were really good. Like they had the dark troopers that were like stormtroopers that did kind of some Jedi stuff, and they had, force repellent armor and all this stuff. It was great. Really made the I think it made the Jedi more fragile without making it I don't know, without doing it in the way that I think that the prequels did, where it's just like, let's overwhelm them, and then that makes sense. It's like, it's not necessarily overwhelming. It's kind of, there are ways to meet strength with strength and stuff like that. And so I think that it's more nuanced in the books, and that series is great. That I remember reading those very quickly when those came out.
Well, before we completely fall down a Star Wars rabbit hole, which I could do for hours, I think we should pull the ripcord on this episode.
Excellent. Not a problem. Next week, or actually before next week's episode, just a quick reminder, programming note, that this Saturday, we alluded to it a little bit because the new Spider-Man movie is coming out to coincide with Free Comic Book Day. So this weekend on Saturday, at many, probably not all, but most comic book stores, you can go in and pick up a smattering of free comic books, and generally they have good sales on comics. So if you're in any way a comic book fan, go in, support a local comic book store, check out what's around. I highly recommend the there's a series of books called Saga, which is written by Brian K. Vaughan, who did the Why the Last Man series. It's really quite good. There's some new Hellboy out that's good. I think I'm missing a Sixth Gun trade paperback in there somewhere, so I gotta go visit a store or two this weekend. That should be fun. But otherwise, stay tuned. Next week's show, we're gonna be half broadcasting from picturesque Anaheim. We'll just see how it goes. If you want to be a guest on that show, please let us know, or any other show. We're running up to some pretty significant shows soon, so get on those guest lists. And then especially if you're, what was it this week? If you're a middle seat flyer on airplanes, definitely let
Yes.
us know. That is a thing.
Most definitely.
Right on. Well, I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.